Take your Bibles this morning, go to Romans chapter 15, and then go to John chapter 8 as well. Romans 15 and John chapter 8. Those of you that came this morning, if you have offering that you need to give, Brother Kelly is our single offering collector this morning, so make sure you see him before you leave, and you can just hand it off to him, and he'll take care of that for us. So if you've got some to give, go ahead and give it to him, and he'll take care of that for us. That'll be getting given into the church, all right? Hey, as young children, I hope this was the case. I know it was with me. I hope with you as a young child, you had a desire to please your parents. You had a desire to please your mom, desire to please your dad. And it could be in any different way, all right? There's different ways that we desire to please them. It may have been to get good grades in school. You know, you wanted to do your best, and maybe you were one of those people, man, you could ace it, all right? It might have been to get good grades. Maybe you say, well, that wasn't me, Brother Dunbar. All right, well, then maybe it's just you just wanted to obey them. You were one of those kids, you wanted to make sure you obeyed them. You tried. You wanted to give them pleasure in you. You did not want to see displeasure in their eyes. Maybe it was with gifts, all right? You'd go and give them something, and, man, you hoped that they would be thrilled with the gift that you gave them. All right, whether it was, you know, a tie or a pair of socks, or you drew a picture and, hey, look at this, and you just want to see a smile on their face. And, you know, most good parents, they, you know, oh, wow, look at this. All right? Possibly it was just to do a task well. All right, you've been given a job and you wanted to make sure, man, I did it good, I did my best, and you know, I think about that as I grew older, you know, hey, Dad say, hey, go do this job. Well, you want to do it well, and you want him to be happy with the accomplishment that you did, all right? And you want to see, ah, good job, son, or good job, daughter. And you're like, yeah, I feel good. Or, I don't know, maybe ladies, you know, making a meal. You wanted to see your family, you know, your parents look at you and go, wow, that was a really good meal that you made today. That was delicious, you know. All kinds of different things in life that we want to see pleasure from our parents. All right, it may carry over into adulthood. All right, you want your parents to be happy with you. You don't want to displease them. I hope that's the case. You don't want to displease your parents. All right. Well, today we're going to take an inward look and see if that same desire to please our parents is there to please our Heavenly Father. All right. I hope this message today will be an encouraging challenge to you, all right? An encouraging challenge to you. Romans chapter 15, in verse 1, it says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." Look at that part there, verse 3 again. It says, "For even Christ pleased not himself." That's where I got the idea for this message. I came across that phrase and I thought, wow, I got thinking about it. That is a foreign concept to us Americans, right? Why would you not want to please yourself? Well, look, we as Americans, and it's just pumped into us, it's pumped at us, all the media, it just pumps it in. They're taught it in school, you know, it's all about you, right? You're number one. You're be the best that you can be. I have my, you know, famous, I have my rights, right? Right. Now look, we do have certain inalienable rights that, yeah, we have a constitution. There are some rights that have been set place that we have kind of agreed upon years ago. And so therefore, yes, should we fight for those rights? Yes, we should. All right, we have a freedom of speech. We have a freedom of the right to bear arms. There are certain rights that we have that, man, we should fight for them, okay? Amen. Otherwise, we're going to be hindered to do some things. And I believe one of the first things that's going to go, if we lose some of these core values that our country is founded upon, we're going to lose the freedom of religion. Amen. It's going to go. They're already pushing it with a pandemic. This is not a pandemic. And they're already telling churches, you got to close down. You know, it's a sad day when I heard today or yesterday in California, strip clubs can be open, but churches must stay closed. Excuse me? Last I checked, churches are pretty clean places, and we can social distance in a church, but the other, it's filthy. Filthy. Why are you letting the filth of this world, the wickedness, that destroys families, that can be open, but a church must close? This is a sad day in America when that's the case. So there are some things we need to fight for, but as individuals dealing with one another, we carry that, I have my rights, a little too far. We always want, well, you know, if it feels good, do it. No. It's not what the Bible says. And that shouldn't be our motto in life. But often that's what the case is, man, it's all about me. I want what pleases me. And yet Christ here, for even Christ pleased not himself. That means everything he didn't do it to please himself. And everything that he chose not to do, he didn't do to please himself. It's an interesting concept. Go to John. Hopefully you're there in John. John chapter 8. So that thought in mind, for Christ pleased not himself. John 8 verse 28, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself." That's when you lift it up. He's going to be lifted up on the cross. "And that I do nothing of myself, that as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." He did nothing to please himself. Everything he did was to please the Father. Everything. Let's go to God in a word of prayer this morning. Ask him to bless this message, and we'll look into this about that which pleases the Father. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come this morning. God, give me the wisdom and the power and the right words to say. God, may this message be a help to those that are here, and be an encouragement and a challenge to them and those that are listening. And Lord, we just ask you, bless this message this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus always did those things that pleased the Father. What exactly does that mean? Well, everything he did pleased the Father. Therefore, he did nothing that would bring displeasure to his Father. In every area of his life, every place he went, everything he looked at, everything he did, it always brought pleasure to the Father. And that's even from a young age. From a young age. All right? Look at Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at a couple things that he did that pleased the Father. At the end of Luke chapter 2, Jesus is 12 years old. We get a glimpse in his life as a young man. All right, he's 12. His parents go to Jerusalem for the yearly sacrifice. They leave and they realize he's missing. Where is he? He's not with us. He's not with the family. They rush back to Jerusalem to try to find him. And that's where we're going to pick up here. In verse 46 it says, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He's looking at him going, hey, I got stuff to do for my heavenly Father. Don't you know I need to be doing my heavenly Father's business? What he's saying here, there's nothing wrong with what he's saying, and hey, he's God's son. Shouldn't he be doing this stuff? "And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." He put himself under them. "But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Jesus put himself under his parents. Look, they weren't perfect. They were sinners. Amen. He knew they were sinners. I am sure there may have been times when they rebuked Jesus for something, and they were in the wrong. Your parents ever wrong you when you were young? I remember a time my dad coming and bringing us kids together and apologizing to us for something that had happened, because I think he had said he would do something and it didn't happen. And, you know, that happens as parents. You think about Jesus, he was perfect. So he never sinned, but his parents sinned. And yet he was willing to put himself under them. You know what? It pleased the Father for Jesus to submit to his earthly parents. It wasn't his time yet. Could he at 12 years old have started his ministry? Why not? He knew everything, right? He was the Son of God. He created everything. And here he is talking to these people in the temple, the doctors and the lawyers and the Pharisees. Man, they're going, whoa, what wisdom in this young child, all right? But he realized, hey, I need to please my Father. I'm going to put myself under my earthly parents. Woo! Put himself under his earthly parents, submitted to them. Go to John chapter 2. Let's look at another instance here. Kind of a similar thing where he's putting himself under his earthly mother. She asks him to do something, and he ends up doing it. John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine." They had run out of grape juice. There was nothing left. And here it is that the marriage is still going. Look over there. The marriage is not a one-day event. It's a multi-day event, and a nice big feast, and you eat, and they're giving you, hey, we need something more than just water. "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do." Here we've got Jesus, he's at this marriage, and his mother comes and says, "Hey, we're out of wine. Can you do something about this?" And this is his first miracle. Amen. He turns the water into wine, and Jesus ends up taking care of it. He fills up the water pots that they would use to cleanse themselves when they came in. He gets them all filled up, and then he tells the servants, "Take a cup and give it to the governor." And the governor drinks of it, and he just praises of how wonderful this wine is. He says, "Man, this is the best. It's the freshest." You know, it's most men, and let's look at that here. Let's go down to verse 9 here. It says, "When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was," he didn't know where it came from, "but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom." He doesn't call Jesus, he calls the bridegroom, okay? And he says, "And saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse." All right, they bring forth the freshest, the best, and then the stuff that's, it's good, but it's not the best, they bring it at the end. "But thou hast kept the good wine until now." Did Jesus get any credit for that first miracle? None. Nothing. And yet it pleased the Father for him not to get the credit. This bridegroom who's sitting here probably scratching his head going, "I told those guys not to do that. Why did they do that?" But then he's going, "Okay, hey man, the governor of the feast is having a good time and he's praising me for it. Well, whoever made that mistake, good job, fellas." Little does he know that Jesus just bailed him out of a horrible situation because he ran out of the drink that he needed. And yet Jesus doesn't get any credit for it. Only the servants, they knew what was going on, but Jesus here, he takes no credit, none at all. And it pleased the Father for him to not get any credit. Then go to John chapter 17. Look in verse 1. It says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He finished everything that God sent him to do. He pleased the Father because everything that he was supposed to get done, he accomplished it. He finished every single work, and it pleased the Father. And that's all he cared about. He did not look for glory upon himself. He did not look to please himself. He looked only to please the Father. The other thing that Jesus did is he did things to please us. There are some things that he did, and it look, I believe, yes, everything he did that pleases us pleased the Father as well. But there are some things that Christ did for us that he gets nothing out of it. Nothing. And we get everything. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He experienced death so that we could have life. Now look, there's two kinds of death. There's the physical death, and then there's the death in hell, which is the second death, all right? That is a death we don't have to go through if we get saved. It pleased the Father to send him to the cross because him going to the cross and shedding his blood, what does it say here? Through the blood of the cross, having made peace through the blood of the cross. We now can have peace with our Heavenly Father. We can have peace with God because Jesus' blood. If he didn't die on that cross, there would be enmity still between us. There would not be peace. But we gain peace. We gain everything, and he lost. He had to go through the pain. He had to go through the suffering. He had to go to hell because that's what needed to be done. He had to shed his blood so that we could have peace with God. All for us and nothing for him. Just so that we could be pleased. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look in verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. Was he rich in heaven? Oh, yeah. He was rich in heaven. He was getting praise. He was sitting there by the Father. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. He came down on this earth, became poor, so that, you know what, we could be rich. Say, Brother Dunbar, my bank account's not got a lot of zeros on it. I'm the left of the decimal. I'm not that rich. Oh, you are. You're rich. And you'll get your inheritance at death or at the rapture. You'll have a lot of riches in heaven. And you know what? You gained that because he decided to leave those riches and be poor for us. He experienced poverty so that we could be rich. He lost and we gained everything. Because he decided, I'm not going to please myself. I'm going to please them and I'm going to please the Father. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, just a couple pages over in your Bible. Another thing here. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Because of what he did on the cross, we are adopted into God's family. We can say, Abba, Father. We can call God our Father because we were adopted. We were strangers. We were pilgrims. God didn't want us. We are sinners. But Jesus, his death on that cross, we get adopted into the family and we now become a child of God. And no one can take us from him. We gain everything at his expense. Everything Jesus did, he received necessary. He really didn't receive anything good. What does he gain by making us his, part of the God's family? What does he gain by giving us riches? We have nothing to offer him. And yet, he chose to do it. He did not experience, and he did not do anything for his own personal pleasure. He did it to please the Father. And you know what? Because he always pleased the Father, there's some things the Father had him do that would please us. How does this apply to us? Well, how can we be like Christ so that we please the Father? Shouldn't our life be then, if Christ did nothing to please himself, and he did always those things that please the Father, if we're to be a Christian, shouldn't we always do those things that please the Father? First of all, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Accept what he did on the cross as payment for your sin. Until you do that, you will never please him. You can never please him. You're an alien to him. You're a child of the devil. You are not his. You will never bring pleasure to him, no matter what you do. All right, there's a lot of folks out there. They're philanthropists. They try to do good to people. All right, there's older folks, younger folks. Man, they try to give and give. And you can go on YouTube nowadays. There's guys that they got these channels. All they do is just give money away to people and goods to people. And they try to be a blessing and give stuff away to just random folks. And that's good. That's great of them to do, but unless they're saved, they're never going to please the Father for any of that stuff. They will die at some time, and they'll end up going to hell, and they're going to be sitting there going, but I did all this good stuff. And God's going to say, it doesn't please me. I never knew you. Depart from me. Until you get saved, you will never please the Father. And you know what? At the moment of salvation, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, boom, that right there, that pleases the Father that you are now his child. And that, when we got saved, that was the first time in our life you brought pleasure to the Father. Sisters rejoicing in the presence of God. I used to think that was the angels, but the Bible tells us the angels don't understand why Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us. So I don't believe it's the angels. I believe it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit up in heaven rejoicing because another person has been brought into the family. I believe it's they who are rejoicing. What else can we do that will bring pleasure to the Father? Now that we're saved, hey, we've got peace with God now. What else can we do? Look at Galatians chapter 5. Just be a page over. Galatians 5, verse 13, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You know what? We need to deny our flesh. God has given us liberty, but it's not liberty to do whatever we want. It's not to please our flesh, it's to deny our flesh. This is not an easy task. It's not. I'm not coming at you going, yeah, man, you should be able to do this, no problem. It's going to be difficult because your flesh is going to fight you every step of the way. And I know there's things that, man, your flesh just wants to do and desires, and you've got to tell it no, and you got to deny it. So that you don't bring your flesh pleasure, you bring pleasure to God. And you know what? It brings pleasure to God every time that you deny your flesh that which it wants, especially in the area of sin. Look, our flesh, it craves to sin, and we need to tell it, no, you're not going to do it. No, you're not going to do it. No, you're not going to do it. And when God sees that, it brings him pleasure. You know what you tell him when you deny your flesh? You're telling him, God, I love you more than I love myself. But the opposite is also true. If you give in every time that your flesh wants something, desires something, it wants to get pleasure, and you say, all right, I'm just going to do it. I don't care. You're telling God, God, I love myself more than I love you today. Look, I'm guilty, folks. I'm preaching at myself this morning. I'm not just preaching at you. I'm preaching at myself. You know the old saying, if you got one finger pointing out, hey, I got three coming right back at me. I'm looking at myself. I'm the same. I'm flesh and blood. I still have to deny my flesh and say, no, no, no. And when I fail, I'm ashamed because I just told God I love my flesh more than I love you. I want to please myself more than I want to bring pleasure to you. It's a struggle, but we've got to fight. Look, we have liberty in Christ. We can tell the flesh no. We can deny it. That's why we have liberty. We don't have liberty to give in to the flesh. We have liberty not to give in. When you were lost, you couldn't do anything but please yourself. But now we've got liberty to be able to say, no, you're not. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do those things that please my Father. Don't squander that liberty that God has given to you. Look in the next verse, all right? It finishes, but by love serve one another. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look, Jesus always did those things that pleased his Father, but Jesus always, if you look at his ministry, you look at his life, what did he do? He served others. You want to bring pleasure to God? You want to bring pleasure to your Heavenly Father? Serve others. That marriage supper, he got no credit. It was all about how I can be a blessing to someone else and not get anything back in return. He probably even maybe brought a gift to the wedding because that's, you know, you're supposed to do that. You come to a wedding, you're supposed to bring a gift for the bride and groom. And then he goes and gives them this great lavish gift of, hey, I'm going to turn all these water pots into wine. So you got plenty to drink for the rest of this marriage. Serve others. Man, if we just serve others, we're fulfilling the law. We're actually going to fulfill the law. You know, if we put their needs above our wants and our own desires. Think about that. What if you did that at your home? You always put the needs and desires of fellas, your wife. Once again, I'm preaching it myself, okay? Look, I know you come home, you won't want to do anything. You want to just, hey, I want to relax. Wife, serve me. No. God didn't put her on this earth to serve me. She's our help meet. She helps us. What if our attitude was instead serve me and said, how can I serve you? Amen. Wife, is that your attitude? How can I serve you, honey? Man, if we would do that, if our goal was to how can I please you instead of how can you please me, how different would our homes be? Be a lot more peaceful. I'm sure it'd be a lot more peaceful. Be a little less turmoil. But you know what? That takes some denial of the flesh. You know, I kind of catch myself because I'm sitting there, you know, oh, come on, why do I got to do this? Oh, yeah, wait a minute. My flesh is roaring up going, you shouldn't have to do this. Well, you make the mess just as much as anybody else, right? Yeah, but it's not mine. I didn't make that mess. Doesn't matter. Why shouldn't you help? Why not be a blessing? Why is it always got to be about you? But that's what our flesh wants. See, that in this area of serving others, man, we got to tell our flesh no. We have to deny it and say, okay, I'm gonna serve with love. By love, serve one another. We serve each other. We're showing love. Hey, young people, do you submit to your parents? Jesus did. Jesus was God. Jesus was perfect. Of any person to have submitted to their parents, Jesus is the one where I would say, you do not have to submit to your parents. You created them. And yet he said, I am going to put myself under them and I'm going to do what they ask me to do. Do you do that? Look, if you're living in their home, you got to submit to them. I don't care what age you are. Say, oh, but that's what 6-year-olds are supposed to do. That's what 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds are supposed to do. That's what 19, 20-year-olds are supposed to do if you're living in their home. Submit to them. That's what Christ did. That's what we should do. How about our church? Do we serve one another in our church? What a difference our church could make in our community if we would just serve each other. Serve each other. There's different ways to do it. All kinds of different ways to do it. What else? Go to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 1 and 2 here. Looking back at what we saw here at the beginning, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves, lest every one of us please his neighbor. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Look, just like Jesus did those things not to bring pleasure to himself, look, what if we did things to not to bring pleasure to ourselves, but to please our neighbors? Our neighbor, those that are around us. Says, if you're strong, bear the infirmities of the weak. What's infirmities? A physical or mental weakness. Hey, if we see folks that have some physical weaknesses, we should help them. We should help them. How about mental weaknesses? Hey, there's some Christians that struggle with some things. Look, there are some things in this book, they are hard to accept. Especially for a new Christian. And maybe for, hey, you could have been saved for 10 years and all come across something like, I have a hard time accepting that. Right. Well, you know what? I'm a seasoned Christian. I'm a mature Christian. Why don't you get this concept? You need to accept what the Bible has to say or else. Well, wait a minute. That's not what the Scripture says here. It says we're supposed to help them with their infirmities. Why do we put them down? Why do we try to bring the hammer on them because, well, you need to just accept it. They're weak in that area. It's a mental infirmity. Help them along. Help them to understand. Hey, it may take longer to accept than it did for you. Aren't there some concepts that you hear it and, oh, yeah, I got that. But then there's some other ones you're going, huh? And you've got to have it repeated to you multiple times before finally the light bulb comes on and you're like, oh, yeah. Happens a lot with math in school, right? I'll have students, some students, I could explain a concept to them and they go, oh, yeah, I get it. And boom, they're off to the races. But then you'll have some students, you'll take that same concept and you'll explain it. They give you that look. There's a look, all right? They're trying to act like I think I know what it is, but they don't. And then you explain it again, and they still don't get it. So then you try to come at it from a different way, and they still don't get it. Man, you're sitting there 15, 20, 30 minutes, and then all of a sudden that light bulb comes on, and you see it in their eyes, and they're like, oh. But you got to be patient with them. You got to continue to work with them. Look, sometimes we got to do that with fellow Christians. There are some things they don't understand. They haven't gotten to that point yet. We need to help them along instead of just putting them down for it or belittling them for it. Help them with that infirmity. And then thirdly, remember, you don't always get credit for the things that you do. Jesus didn't get credit for the water turning into wine. Just because you serve, you're giving service, you're giving of yourself, don't always expect credit to come back to you. It may not happen. Look, Jesus did not receive any credit for turning that water into wine, except for we see it in Scripture, okay? We know that he did it, all right? God made sure it got put in his word, but at that moment, nothing. Don't do things so that you can... Can you pat me back? I can't reach back that far. Can you pat my back for me?
Yeah.
Don't be looking for a pat on the back all the time. You know, I believe it gives God great pleasure when we can do things for somebody and there's nothing they can do in return. And then there's times, folks, look, just because, you know, well, do they really, hey, if you can be a blessing to someone, be a blessing to someone. Recently, my wife and I, we recently just seem to get, there's some blessings that God has just shown us and given us in our life recently. And there was an opportunity to, I said, you know what, let's just be a blessing to this family. We picked something up for them, and I said, I just want to be a blessing to them. I said, we'll take care of it. You know, they were willing, oh, let us pay. No, God's been a blessing to me. I want to be a blessing back. And just because. Gee, do you ever look for ways just to, hey, I just want to be a blessing to somebody. What can I do? We should. Look at Matthew chapter 6. You say, but no one, what if some people don't know? Your heavenly Father knows.
Amen.
Your heavenly Father knows. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, and they that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy right hand know what thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Look, don't always be trying to do something for others so that you can be seen. This here, I believe, is in reference to giving, all right, giving in the offering. But there's things that, you know, hey, there's sometimes you'll do something and it will be seen of men. That's fine. And you may get public praise, all right? But don't be looking for it. Don't be looking for it. If you don't get praise, well, hey, your heavenly Father knows that you're given service. He'll remember. He'll remember. He'll be sure to bless you. Everything we do, every action we make, does it please the Father? There's a saying, and it comes from a book, In His Steps. I wasn't a big fan of the book. I wasn't a fan of the saying, but in this message, I'm like, I got thinking about it, like, it kind of holds true. WWJD, right? That back when I was a young person, they had the bracelets and all this stuff, and I didn't get into it. It was just a fad. I knew it was a fad, and what would Jesus do? But think about it. When you come to situations in your life, do you ever wonder, what would Jesus do in this situation right now? Well, what did he do? Sometimes you could say, what did he do in this situation? Because we got examples of things that he did do. So how should I approach it? What should I do? Because, hey, what did Jesus do? So what should I do? It's a good thing to look at and go, man, what did Christ do? How can I please the Father? Do you live with this in mind, always pleasing the Father? Or is it, how can I please myself? What can I do to bring pleasure to myself? Can we really call ourselves a Christian if we're not trying to please Him? What does it mean? A Christian means to be like Christ or Christ-like. Well, Christ always did those things that pleased the Father. So if we're not even trying to do those things that please the Father, can you really call yourself a Christian? I'd be careful. Look, I'm preaching this message to hopefully encourage you. Hey, you say, I don't do things that please the Father. All right, well, make that change. Make that change. Just man falls seven times. Yeah, you may have fallen. Get back up and go, all right, I'm going to do right this time and purpose to do right. Go to your Heavenly Father. Ask Him for that help, man. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us be able to say no to our flesh and to serve one another and to please Him always. What a difference we could make in our community if we would just always do those things that please the Father. Let's be like Christ and do that. Let's have everyone bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to have a in-your-seat invitation right now. Have a moment. You can just, hey, if God's spoken to your heart, ask Him to talk to Him. Maybe there's something that He wants you to work on. I don't know what it may be. You know your life. You know your situation. If you're listening right now online and you're watching this, hey, take a moment right now. If God spoke to you, don't take this as, oh, we're just watching the live stream. Hey, take a moment and pray. Get alone with God and say, hey, God, I'm gonna make this change in my life. We're not perfect, and God knows that, but hey, when he speaks to you, move. Don't get a hard heart. That's not something you want to have. Just take a moment and say, Lord, help me. I want to please you. I want to make a change. I want to be like Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting with us this morning. God, help us as we go our separate ways this week that we would do our best to bring you pleasure, God, in everything that we do. At our job, man, it's possible to do that. It's possible to bring you pleasure at our job. And Lord, help us to have a desire to serve one another and not go through life acting like it's all about us, because it's not. Lord, help us to do our best to bring you pleasure, to serve each other. And that way we can truly say we are a Christian. We're a child of God. Thank you, Lord, for the example of Jesus Christ and for him shedding his blood so that we could get saved and have the opportunity to do this. Lord, give us all safety to go our separate ways and bring folks back in tonight as we have our services later. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good afternoon.